We're turning today in God's Word for Bible reading to the book of the Psalms, to Psalm number 9. In recent times, we've been reading through the Psalms. So we're reading today from Psalm 9, verse 11, down to the end. And then we're turning also over to 1 Peter, chapter 5. In recent times, we've been looking at the epistle of 1 Peter. We've left that off for a few weeks. Want to take that up again now, and the will of the Lord conclude this series of messages on this book. And we're reading just two verses today from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. So reading first of all from Psalm number 9, and if you like to mark that passage in your Bible, and then from 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning at the verse number 8. And these verses in the latter part of Psalm number 9, David here is encouraging praise and prayer to God. And that's something very important for God's people, whatever our circumstances are. We are to praise God, and we are to pray to God. And verse 11 of Psalm 9 begins by saying, "Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble." What a promise that is. What an encouragement that is to you, believer, to pray. It says, "He forgetteth not the cry of the humble." Verse 13, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is ensnared in the work of his own hands, hagion selah." That little phrase there at the end of verse 16 means stop and pause and think especially of what has been said there. Verse 17 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hail, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men." Selah. And then we're turning over to 1 Peter chapter number 5, and I want to read just two verses from this chapter, verses 8 and 9 of 1 Peter chapter 5. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, and knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Amen, and may God bless that reading of his holy and eternal word to all our hearts today. And our text for today is those final two verses that we read with you. Verses 8 and 9 of 1 Peter chapter 5, where it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Now, in these two verses in particular, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, Peter here is warning God's people of their adversary, the devil. Now, as well as being called the believer's adversary, in the scriptures, as you read and study the scriptures, you will see that the devil is also described and called the angel of light. He's also given the title of Satan, the serpent, the wicked one, and the roaring lion. And those titles, along with others, really show us something of his nature, show us something of his intent and of his work. The title, the angel of light, really reveals the devil as one who is a false prophet. He is false. He is one that is false in what he seeks to present to the hearts and minds of people. The serpent describes him as a deceiver. Remember how he deceived Adam and Eve in taking the forbidden fruit as the serpent. The roaring lion depicts him as one who seeks to devour. The word Satan itself portrays him as an adversary, one who is opposed to others, especially opposed to God and God's people. And then the devil, the title of the devil, really reveals and shows how he is an accuser, how he is a slanderer, and that's the devil's work. He accuses, he slanders God, and indeed the people of God. That's the work, that's his business. Yes, the devil is a spiritual being who is a fallen angel. The Bible shows us that in heaven he tried to exalt himself above God, and for this, God cast him out of heaven. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 17, you read about that. And for there it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" And from his casting out of heaven as a fallen angel, the devil is one who's waged war against all that is of God. He is completely opposed and antagonistic to all that is of God. He attacked God's creation at the beginning of time by tempting Adam and Eve to sin. He is one who continually has and will continually seek to attack God's kingdom and God's people right to the very end of time. And in warring against God, he is one who vents his malice in particular against the people of God, against the church of Christ. And it is this attack of Satan upon God's people that Peter here is warning us about in our text today in verses 8 and 9 of 1 Peter chapter 5. When he says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." And in this warning, Peter really outlines for us the devil's strategy, but not only his strategy, he also outlines his defeat. And it is this account here of the devil's strategy and his defeat that I want us just to look at today as we consider God's word together. Notice first of all here the devil's constant activity. Verse 8 begins with the words, "The devil walketh about," and he is one who walks about this earth looking for a prey. Back in the book of Job, chapter 1, there God spoke to Satan and he asked him the question. He said, "Whence comest thou?" And Satan replied by saying, "From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it." And there you see how the devil is a very powerful spiritual being. He's a very powerful fallen angel. And this whole earth is his domain. In the book of Ephesians, we are told there that he is the prince of the power of the air. And he is one who can move very quickly from one part of the world to another part of the world. Yes, wherever man is, there the devil can pounce. There the devil can attack. Child of God, recognize this. Child of God, wherever you are on this earth, in whatever duty you may be engaged in as a believer, Satan is able to attack, he's able to pounce. Therefore, you and I must not underestimate his power or his strategy. Also, it needs to be noted and said that Satan can attack the heart, indeed the very mind of God's people themselves. And you have an example of this in the life of Elijah the prophet, that great servant of God that you read about in the Old Testament, mightily blessed and used of God. In particular, 1 Kings 18 and the defeat of the prophets of Baal. Yet in the next chapter, chapter 19 in particular, verse 4 of that chapter, you read of Elijah running from Jezebel. He sits down under a juniper tree and he requests that his very life, that life that was so greatly blessed and used of God, he requests that that life be taken from him. You see, at this point in his life, Elijah was weak. He was tired. He was alone. And it was then that the devil attacked and pounced. And Christian, the devil can do the same with you and I also. Whenever we are tired, whenever we are weak, whenever we are alone, yes, we can become despondent and downcast. And it is at that point the devil can attack our hearts and minds as God's people. It's also important to note as well that Satan can attack our minds as God's people with presumption. This was the case with David. For he said, my mountains stand firm, I shall never be moved. And David thought that he would never fall as a Christian. And likewise, Satan can sow similar seeds of carnal mindedness in our own hearts as God's people as well. Yes, as the devil walks up and down upon the earth, he attacks our hearts, he attacks our minds, but it also must be said that he can even use providence against us as well as the people of God. You think of Esau in the Old Testament whenever he was hungry. The devil tempted him to sell his birthright. Think also of Noah, a man who walked with God, who obeyed the Lord, who had a pleasing testimony before the Lord. He built the ark. He saw his family saved from the flood. But after the flood, and after he left the ark, we're told how he prospered in this earth. And Satan used his prosperity to lead Noah, that man of God, blessed and used of God. Satan led him into drunkenness and into the sin of immorality. There we see how even Satan can pounce and use providence to lead us into sin and into a way that is contrary to God. Think also of the trial of Christ. When Christ was going to be crucified, Satan then attacked Peter. And he led Peter to deny his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me in your Bible back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 26. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 26. Look with me, please, in particular, at verse 35 of Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, verse 35. And here you have Peter speaking to the Lord Jesus, his Savior. And it says, Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. And there you have Peter boasting that he would never, ever deny the Lord. You turn over to the end of that same chapter, near the end of it, Matthew chapter 26, look at verse number 69, verse number 70. Look now at what happens to Peter. This is at the trial of Christ. And it says, now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And there you see how he denied Christ as Savior. And this was all due to a satanic attack upon Peter the Apostle. Peter, who was saved, called of God, a servant of God. D.L. Moody was a great servant of God in a bygone day, and blessed of God, saw countless multitudes brought to Christ, and he said these words. He says, I believe Satan exists for two reasons. First, the Bible says so, and second, because I have done business with him. He knew the attack of Satan upon him. Child of God, you look at what our text says today in 1 Peter chapter number 5 and the verse number 8. It says of the devil, he walketh about. There you see his activity. Let us not be ignorant of his devices. Yes, we see his activity. Notice something else here from our text. Notice the devil's roarings. Look at what our verse says. It says in verse 8 of 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, he walketh about, it says, as a roaring lion. And that reference there to him as a roaring lion, it depicts his anger. It depicts his fierceness. You think of a lion, whenever it roars in the jungle, it does it for a purpose, and the purpose is this. It is that it might paralyze its prey with fear. And likewise, the devil attacks you and I as believers like a roaring lion. Why? So that we might be overcome as God's people and paralyzed with fear in our Christian life and in our walk with God. The devil does this, yes, by way of persecution of the Christian. In Peter's day, there was much persecution against God's people, these believers in particular, to whom Peter was writing, and that persecution was stirred up. It was egged on by Satan. Look at how Peter refers to that back in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 12. He says, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. You read through history, and you have countless examples of persecution against God's people. And it was all satanic inspired. You think of the burning of the Smithfield martyrs who were burned for their faith in Christ at the stake. Think of the St. Bartholomew's Day massacre in France, the Spanish Inquisition. Think of the killing times in Scotland during the days of the Covenanters. And these are all examples of satanic persecution against God's people. And can I say, such persecution continues today in our world, especially in countries that are under the control of Islam and communism. And that will continue on, and it will increase until the time Jesus Christ comes back again in power and in great glory. Even in our own country, here in the Western world, the United Kingdom, we can see the spirit of Antichrist rising in our society. So much so that it is becoming increasingly difficult for God's people now to witness and to live out their faith in the public square, if you like, the public domain, so to speak. You see, the Bible says, "Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Also, as a roaring lion, the devil is one who attacks God's people by tempting them to sin. The psalmist tells of this in his own life. And Psalm 73, verse 2, he says, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped." And Christian, the devil will do all he can. Dear believer, learn from this. Take note. He'll do all he can to get you in a path, to get you in a way that is contrary to the Word of God, that is contrary to the will of God for your life. He did this with Jonah. God called Jonah to go and preach the Word of God to the city of Nineveh. But what did the devil do? The devil led Jonah onto a ship to Tarshish, and it brought great trouble into his life. That's the devil's constant strategy against you and I, or save to lead us into sin, away from God, away from the Word of God, away from the will of God. And in doing this, the devil, yes, may use wave after wave after wave of temptation, just as he tried to do with Christ himself. Turning your Bible back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 4, and here you read in the opening part of this chapter of the temptation of Christ. And he was tempted by the devil, but he did not yield to sin, for Christ was perfect. He was impeccable. But nonetheless, he was tempted by Satan, tempted on three occasions. And it shows us how the devil attacks the Christian with wave after wave of temptation. Look at verse number 3 there of Matthew chapter number 4. It says, "And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." There you have one temptation. Go down to verse number 6 of the chapter. You have the second. It says, "And he saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." And here he was tempting Christ with the sin of presumption. And then look at verse number 9. Notice that the final temptation. "And he saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." And there he was tempting Christ to fall down and worship the devil himself, to give the devil the preeminence. But of course, Christ refused all those temptations. He was without sin. But it shows us as Christians how the devil can attack us continually. It can be relentless. And then we can say further that as a roaring lion, the devil is one who can attack the Christian with thoughts of evil, thoughts of blasphemy. And Christ warns us of this in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verse 21, verse 22, when he speaks of the heart of man, and he says, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. You think of how birds of the air drop seeds here and there over the land. And so Satan is one who can sow seeds of evil, all kinds of evil thoughts and thinking in the heart and in the mind of the Christian. Brethren and sisters in Christ, that is why Peter at the very beginning of this book, chapter 1, verse 13, says to you and I as believers, he says, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. And how the devil, yes, can attack the mind of the Christian. Yes, we see his activity, we see his roaring. Notice something else here from our text, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Notice the devil's aim. Look at what it says there at the end of verse number 8. It says, seeking whom he may devour. Notice that word, devour. What does that tell you and I about the aim of the devil? The devil's aim is to devour you and I who are saved. His aim is to devour the church of Christ. That word devour literally means to swallow up. You think back to the beginning of World War II. Whenever Hitler's Nazi army and war machine had literally swallowed up Western Europe and out into the East as well, all in its wake. Nothing seemed to be able to stop it. But for the mercy of God, he would have swallowed up the British Isles as well at that time with his army. But for God's intervention, it devoured all in its path. And that's really what the devil wants to do with God's people. He wants to devour us. He wants to sweep us out of the way. He wants to get the mastery over us. That's what the Bible shows you and I as Christians. Turn in your Bible over to Revelation chapter number 12, and you will see this for yourself. It really speaks here very much in this chapter of the attack of Satan against God's people, against the church of Christ, with a number of references to that. You can mark them in your Bible, verse 4, verse 13, verse number 15. We'll look at the final reference to it, verse 17, right at the very end of the chapter, for the sake of time. And it says here, and the dragon, that's the devil, all that the devil represents. And the dragon was wroth with the woman. The woman there represents the Lord's people, his church, his bride. Was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. That's the remnant of God's people upon this earth. It says, which keepeth the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. There you see how he makes war against the people of God, and he will continue that war, and that war will intensify right to the very end of time. Yes, his intention is to devour you and I who are saved. Believer, understand this. This is something to recognize in your Christian life. His intention is to destroy your faith. That's what the devil wants to do, believer, with your faith. He wants to destroy it. He wants to destroy your hope as a Christian. He wants to destroy your comfort as a believer. He wants to destroy your peace as a believer. He wants to destroy your joy as a believer. He wants to destroy your usefulness, indeed your testimony as a believer, as a child of God. He wants to devour you. You think of what Christ said to Peter about this. He warned him of this very fact. In Luke chapter 22, in the verse number 31, it says there, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan have desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. That's a warning to all of us who are saved. Child of God, this is the ultimate aim of the devil against you. And he will use anyone. And he will use anything. He will employ any tool in his hand to try to accomplish this in your life as a believer. He will use many wiles, many schemes, many devices to try to devour you as a believer, as a saint of God. We see his aim, we see his activity, we see his roarings. But notice one final thought here in our text this morning. Notice the devil's defeat. Praise God, there's victory over Satan and victory for the Christian over Satan. For look at how verse number 9 begins. Look at what Peter says here to these Christians. He's spoken to them of the attack of the devil, his strategy and all the rest. And then he says this. Notice the change in the language that he uses. He says, whom resist steadfast and the faith. And child of God, you and I, we are to resist the devil. This is something we are exhorted to do throughout the Bible. You think of what is said in James chapter 4, verse 7. It says, "I resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Again, in Ephesians 4, verse 27, it says, "Neither give place to the devil." We're not to give him space. We're not to give him room. My, when the devil stirs up persecution and opposition against us, we are told we are to hold our ground for the Lord. We are to depend upon the Lord as our defense. The Bible says, "Stand fast in the Lord." The psalmist in verse 10 of Psalm 7 could say, "My defense is of God, which save of the upright in heart." Again, whenever the devil would tempt us to sin, we are to pray for grace. Grace to overcome that temptation, or else pray that God would make a way of escape. In Matthew 26, verse 41, the Lord says, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation." Think of the Lord's prayer. The Lord teaches us to pray, "Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Turn in your Bible back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and the verse number 13. Look at what is said there to you and I who received. It says, "There have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Christian, think of what the hymn writer says. The hymn writer says, "Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through." We're to resist the devil. We're to be steadfast in our opposition against him. When he attacks you, are to pray. Pray for deliverance. The Lord would keep us from evil and sin. Something we should pray for day by day in our Christian lives. When he attacks, pray that if God will make a way of escape for us, that he'll deliver us out of that intention of the devil. Also, we can say further that when the devil tempts us to do what is contrary to God's word, or when he would tempt us to doubt God's word, what are we to do? We are to hold fast to God's word. We are to obey God's word. We are to trust God's word. Look again at what Peter says there in 1 Peter chapter 5 and the verse number 9. He says, "Whom resist," notice it, "steadfast in the faith." Notice that little phrase there, "in the faith." And that points us toward the word of God and the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. We're to hold fast to the word of God. You think of the temptation of the devil against Christ in Matthew chapter 4. The devil, yes, tempted Christ on three occasions. But on three occasions, Christ overcame the devil's snare by quoting the word of God to him and by cleaving to the word of God. And in verse 4 of Matthew chapter 4, Christ said to Satan, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Again in verse 7 he said, "It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And again in verse 10 of the chapter he said, "It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Notice there Christ's continual appeal to the word of God. And he's setting there before us an example, dear people of God, when we are attacked by the evil one. We're not to yield to Satan's ploys. We are to hold fast to the word of God. And child of God, this is why it's so important that you and I never depart from the anchor, from the rock of Scripture, the word of God. This is why it's so important for you and I to feed our souls in the word of God day by day, to pray over God's word, to read it for ourselves, to study it, to ask God by His Spirit to guide us and direct us in His word and in His truth. How important, dear child of God, that there's room in your life day by day for the word of God, for the reading of it, the study of it. And as we've often said from this pulpit, dear Christian, the best English version of the scriptures that you can read and study for yourself is the authorized King James version of the scriptures. Also, Christian, you and I, we can resist Satan by depending upon the blood of Christ. to cleanse us from all sin. Turn with me over again to Revelation chapter number 12. That chapter really highlights the attack of Satan so much upon God's people and upon the church of Christ. But I want you to look at verse number 11, set in the context of this attack upon the people of God. Look at what it says in verse 11 of Revelation chapter number 12. It says, "And they overcame him," that's they overcome the devil, how? "By the blood of the Lamb," that's the blood of Christ, "and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Yes, praise God for the blood of Christ today. There's victory for the believer in the blood of Christ. My believer, through the blood of Christ, you and I are upon victory ground. We're on redemption ground. And through the blood of Christ, we can know cleansing from every sin. We can know victory over every attack of the devil. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It goes on cleansing us. It is incorruptible blood. It is blood that has lost none of its ancient power. The Bible says to you and I as Christians in Ephesians 6 verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Oh Christian, by God's grace and putting on the whole armor of God, you're to stand against evil, stand against sin, stand against every attack and every temptation of Satan against you as a believer in Christ. Yes, we recognize from the scriptures, we recognize, yes, from experience that the devil is powerful. But Christian, remember this, he is powerful, but he is not all powerful. He is mighty, but he is not almighty. You see, there is only one person who is all powerful. There is only one person who is almighty. Who is that person? It is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, whom the Bible refers to as the one who is King of kings, who is Lord of lords. And Christ defeated Satan on the cross. And Satan's time on earth and his warfare on earth, it is short. It is coming to a close. And what's going to happen, Satan, when Christ returns? Turn with me, please, in your Bible over to Revelation chapter number 20. Revelation chapter number 20. And look with me, please, at the verse number 10. When Christ returns, indeed Satan and all his forces will be completely vanquished by Christ, the reigning, returning Christ. And they will be completely vanquished by being cast into hell forevermore, never to escape. Look at verse number 10 of Revelation chapter number 20. It says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire." This chapter is all about the return of Christ. "And they'll be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast," that's the forces of Antichrist, "are, and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Child of God, see the victory that is yours in Christ. Dear child of God, until that day when Christ comes, or until that day when the Lord calls you home to glory, may you and I be faithful, faithful to the Lord. May we be found faithful, watchful, prayerful, obedient to God's word. Let us be those who are dependent upon the Lord, not ourselves. For vain is the help of man. The arm of flesh would surely fail us. Let us be dependent upon the Lord. Dear Christian, as you go out to face the world, the flesh and the devil in this new week, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The grace of God is sufficient for your every need. He says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Whatever the test, whatever the battle, whatever the trial, whatever the attack is, depend upon Christ. Rest upon the blood of Christ. Plead the covering of the blood of Christ. Plead the sufficiency of the grace of God. And praise God, the Lord will bless you and use you and keep you and protect you. Unsaved friend, today let me say this, that if you are to know victory over Satan, over sin, over sin's penalty in a lost eternity in hell and now in time, you must come by faith to Christ as a poor and needy sinner. Repent of your sin and lay hold upon Christ, the Christ of God who died, who has risen again, lay hold upon him with the hand of faith. And trust in his atoning blood to blot out all your sins. The Bible says, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Unsaved friend, will you enter into that victory today by bowing before Christ, the Son of God, asking him to be your Savior, to take away your sins, asking him to save you, and he'll save you, he'll keep you, he'll bless you, and enable you to live the Christian life for his honor and glory day by day. Thank you for listening today, wherever you are. May God bless his word to your heart and to your soul for Jesus' sake. Amen. We'll just unite our hearts together in prayer as we close around God's word today, this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy presence with us around our open Bibles today. And we thank thee for the word of God and for help given in the preaching of your word. Lord, bless thy word, bless thy truth to every heart who has listened, who will listen. Help us, Lord, as your people to be watchful, to be prayerful, to be victorious over every strategy, over every snare, every pitfall that the devil would seek to lay for us. We realize we're no match for him in our own strength. But Father, we thank thee today that our sufficiency is in God, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, and in the blessed Comforter himself, the Holy Spirit. Help us day by day to be victorious, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of thy might. For any listening in today, unsaved, speak to them. And Lord, may they come from darkness to light, to trust Christ, whom to know is life eternal. Bless us throughout this thy day. Enable us to gather again this evening around your word. And until that time, we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, would be our portion. This we pray and this we ask in Jesus' precious and wonderful name. Amen.